Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at BostonScores.org/Noah.
This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Have you thought about what happens after football for you?
I think about it more now than I would than I used to.
Yeah.
I think now I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. What does that end look like? Is that 43? Is it 45?
Yeah.
Is it?
As long as I'm still loving it.
As long as you're loving it, you're going
to
do it.
Yes. Yeah, so, as long as I'm loving the training and the preparation and willing to make the commitment.
Sooner rather than later. So that's obviously the takeaway cut from what I found to be an otherwise completely useless interview with Oprah Winfrey. So superficial. I thought... She sucked. I thought he sucked. I thought it was a giant waste of time. She doesn't know, again, she doesn't know if it's puffed or stuffed.
Yeah, super sold.
She had no clue. And, you know, even when she asked him about Belichick or you trained somewhere else, like, she has no idea. And not that she should. It's like, it's just, yeah.
Well, that wasn't for me, the Patriot fan. That was for a completely different audience.
Yeah, your wife.
So, anyway.
am I wrong?
Yeah. We're going to pregame. I got some fresh kombucha, a yoga mat, some patchouli oil. It's going to be great.
But anyway, it is a continued bait and switch from Tom Brady, who we've been playing you the cuts from his Peter King offseason interview the year before, where he's playing to 45, and then he'll see. He's got the answers to the test. He feels like he's in his mid-20s, and he's nowhere close to stopping, and why would he even consider it? And now it's like, yeah, I think about it now more than I used to, and it's going to be sooner than later. So the great bait and switch from Tom Brady. But that phraseology, the sooner than later, Maz had a brilliant take to open up the show, which I even wonder, like, he had to have gotten it from somewhere else. It's so good.
You still don't believe me.
Because it's just too good. But
well, I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you for just picking your nose and flicking it at me.
But what is it?
So you know, his name is on the show, too.
So look, back in 2014, I told you, I remember this vividly. Like, I'm not BSing you. I didn't have any conversation with anybody. When the Kansas City game happened and they got their asses kicked on Monday night and Garoppolo went in and played, that caused a firestorm around Brady. There were people asking Belichick at that press conference, is it time to make a change at quarterback? And Chris Mortensen wrote.
And spoke.
Yes, and we have the sound too. But the second paragraph of the story, two sources.
Belichick and Lombardi.
Told ESPN that former rookie quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo was drafted as Brady's successor and the move could happen, quote, sooner than later.
Again, Jimmy?
You know, the drafting of Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round this year, people said, okay, they're just stacking up their quarterback depth chart a little bit. Well, there are now people who believe that Garoppolo will replace Brady sooner than later.
Sooner than later.
So when Brady used the exact same phrase over the weekend, I heard Chris Mortensen. I did. And I went, oh my gosh, isn't that something? Same words. Like as if this is Brady saying, oh, remember way back when you said sooner rather than later, Garoppolo was going to replace me? Well, sooner rather than later, I am now thinking about retirement. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Like, to me, that is what, you know, and again, I don't know if Brady did it deliberately or not. Probably not. Probably just a coincidence. But to me, the replication of that phrase was striking. It's immediately what I thought of.
Okay.
I think I'm seeing that there's definitely an end coming sooner rather than later.
You know, the drafting of Jimmy Garoppolo in the second round this year, people said, okay, they're just stacking up their quarterback depth chart a little bit. Well, there are now people who believe that Garoppolo will replace Brady sooner than later.
So it was a great point, Mass, wherever you did get it from. Here's Adam in the car. He's waiting patiently to talk. Hi, Adam. What do you got?
Jerk.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First off, I want to answer the question of the guy who called earlier and said, asked if, you know, if it was good company that Brady was keeping, yeah, I would hang around with Gisele Bündchen and Victoria's Secret model any day. So I think absolutely he's keeping good company. I'm more so just trying to call and see if you guys think that you may be overstepping a little bit in terms of getting a little too personal in terms with Brady's wife and kind of the way he's living his life. Like, I get it. Like, there's decisions that he's made in this offseason that I don't agree with. But, you know, there's a fine line that you guys are walking.
Well, I mean, but let me just stop you. Didn't he put it out there for us to assess?
Yeah, I mean, I think he put it out there, but, right, like, sticking your neck out, like Gisele commenting on, like, the concussions, going into the football stuff, I think that's all well and fine, but commenting on her lifestyle and, like, the way that she is a wife to Brady, I just think that's a little bit overstepping. And, you know, from an organization standpoint, who you guys cover the Patriots, right? And he's been here for 15 years. He's added so much value to the community and the press that you guys get from covering them. I just think that you wouldn't want to go down that line, especially seeing what's happened across the bridge with some of your competitors doing the same thing.
I have no idea what you're talking. It's not my job to support the team or the players. Not my job. So I don't know. I think you've got that all mixed up.
The other thing is, honestly,
they've given us their personal life to assess. They're the ones who are putting their personal life out there. So that's fair game.
I don't blame Gisele for any of this. The more I think,
any of it.
No. The more I think. No. Listen. What wife isn't, you know, offering her 2 cents to her husband about stuff? And more often than not, you still have the capacity to do what you want to do.
I don't like the constant harping about when you're going to retire. And, you know, when are you going to retire? When are you going to retire? And what about this and what about that? It's a job. He has a job. He has to go to work, Gisele.
Yeah, that's a real issue that he has to deal with there. And I think she looks at it as just a stupid game. That's not a real job to her.
Yeah, so regardless of whether she looks at it, he doesn't have to stop.
Yeah, easier said than done, man.
Okay, he doesn't have to stop.
She's really the one that's the breadwinner in that family.
So, he's the football player. This is what it is. I mean, you know, look, I'm not telling you that she doesn't say anything or it doesn't create some sort of pressure. But I think ultimately it's him who can say, now listen, I'm going to keep playing. This is what I love to do.
Absolutely. I mean, both. I mean, she's aggravating me with the harping about retirement. But he can also, you know, just tell her to put a sock in it. Like, I have a job. What do you want me to do? I have to go to work. This is my life. I've devoted my life to it. And not only do I want to keep doing it, I'm under contract to keep doing it. So I have to fulfill my commitment to work. So, like, that's starting to frustrate me from the outside. George in Medford has a great point on this. Go ahead, George.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, George. What do you got?
Well, I just wanted to, before I get to the point that I actually called on.
Your phone's not good enough to give me a side point. Give me your take and speak right into the phone. Hold it like a pizza.
I got it. The whole Gisele thing with her wanting to make Brady retire or whatever, is he telling her to retire? Does she have businesses? Does she still do photo shoots?
Great point.
Does she still work at all where he should be saying, why don't you retire?
Oh, George, God love you. Thank you. I'm going to let you go. Thank you for the call. How come not in any of her voluminous interviews and press tours and all the work that she does, do I not have to hear, well, Tom keeps asking me, when am I going to slow down? And when am I going to start, you know, devoting time to the family and picking the kids up at practice? How come I don't hear that on that side?
Because he can't win that argument. Because it would go like this. You know, gee, why don't you walk away from modeling? I'm still hot. End of story.
Isn't she, like, semi-retired, though?
Yeah, she is. Yes, she is. But I don't know. Feels to me like she's out there as much as he is. What's
okay,
she
but,
doing?
But we're missing an obvious point. He puts his body and his health physically at
risk.
Well,
that too. That's what, you know, he's hearing that.
Okay, but again, why is that wrong for her to bring that up? They have kids together. What does she want to be, pushing them around in a wheel?
That's the job.
Okay, yes, but don't marry a football player.
Okay, but again, see, I don't have a problem with her expressing it, though. Like, so what, Tom can't do anything else? What's the whole TB12 thing about?
It's undermining.
It's not retiring, it's changing careers.
I find it undermining. I mean, just the
oh, she has a right to speak up on
the
it.
The amount of time-ish. Don't marry a football player if you don't want your husband to play football. And at some level, it's a disrespectful or something. It's like, this is what he does, this is what he's devoted his life to. And every year he's got to hear about, when are you going to quit? How come you're going to quit? And you've won all your Super Bowls, now you can quit. Like, that's not supporting your spouse.
No, it's not.
The rings are gaudy. You need another one?
Yeah, look, yeah. I wouldn't like it either. I would be like, enough already. But that does, I don't blame her for Tom all of a sudden expressing doubt. I don't. I blame Tom. That's who I blame.
Here's what I wonder, whether it's really genuine or not. I mean, I don't doubt that she's chirping at him, but he's giving it now all this weight, right? Is that, has he really had an epiphany? Has he really changed? Has she really gotten to him as it relates to that? Or has he gotten to himself? Oh, I do want to spend time with my family. Huh.
He didn't have any problem blocking her out when Garoppolo was here.
All I know is when Garoppolo was here, I don't remember hearing the stuff about picking the kids up at practice. I just don't. The picking the kids up at practice is a thing from the last 6 months.
It's not her. It's him.
It's not Super G. It's
Jimmy G.
That was another good line today.
That's what it's about. Super G. We're going to blame her. Tom, stop playing, Tom. Jimmy, you want to help me out here, Murray?
No, but that is annoying.
Yeah, of course it's annoying.
I'm not blaming her, but it's annoying. Like,
yes.
Stop. This is his job.
Of course it's annoying. But do you honestly think she's going to stop?
No.
But it is the Felger Mass Show, so we give our take on
it. Well, okay, but my point is, she doesn't want him eating out of a straw when he's 48 years old.
Yeah. A paper straw. Okay. She's fine. Yeah.
I can't say I blame her on that one. She has a right to speak up about it. But he ultimately has the right to keep playing and committing if that's what he really wants, if that's how he does it.
But is she doing that out of concern for his health or that she thinks it's a stupid game and he's wasting everyone's time?
And who cares?
Do you think she wants to live in Boston?
I don't care.
Right.
I don't care where she wants to live.
Read that Vogue article, too. That's pretty evident.
It's really, I mean, I'm sure she's concerned about his safety. I'm not saying she's not. But a big piece to it is, can we get the hell out of Boston?
You guys are making this way too complicated. Jimmy G's gone, and Tom has the leverage, and he's sticking it to the Patriots. It's that simple.
Felger and Mass. The Sports Hub. Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Heck, a long time.
Okay. How low does the low last? So after that game with the Eagles, I saw your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a different year this year. And I would say in 2007, this was, 11 years ago, we had, I think, one of the greatest football teams in the history of football. Went undefeated. We got to the Super Bowl, we played the Giants, and we lost. It was a month before I really felt back to myself. It was a nightmare. You woke up the next morning, I said, it didn't happen. There's no way that happened. And then this year, after the game, I saw my wife and I saw my three kids. And my little girl and my son, Benny, were crying. And I went over and I said, Daddy, we don't like the Eagles, you know? And I said, you know what? You don't always win, you know? You don't always win. You try your best, and you do the best you can do. And I think because you have the kids, it's not about, you know, you'd love to win. You always want to win. But the sun's going to come up the next day, and you're going to be taking the kids to school the next day. And in some ways, this year was easier for me than it has been in the past. And it's not that I don't want to win the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... There's other really important things as
really
well.
Really important things in your life.
Sorry, I don't buy that one either. I totally buy that it hurts less. But it's not because of the kids. Yeah! It's not because of the kids. It hurts less because you've won two in the last couple of years. When you got to 07 and you won in 04, but there was a gap there from 04 to 14 between winning, and it had started to build up. And so you were undefeated in 07. You weren't undefeated this year. The gap was longer then than it is now. You were trying to win back-to-backs this time. And oh, by the way, this one was on the coach, not on you. And don't you think that's a factor, Murray? I'm sure you feel this way, too. Why did this one not hurt as bad as 2007 against the Giants? Because I didn't screw up. That ain't me. I put up 500 yards. It was the coach that wouldn't play 21. That ain't my problem. No. I mean, I was fine a week later. I did everything I could. Jeez, or it's because now he got to look Benny in the eye and say, you can't win them all. So has that changed? Again, where was this last year when he was talking to Peter King? I don't remember mentioning it.
Yeah, and also maybe this one hurt less because there wasn't anyone there to take his job. Maybe that on top of it.
Well, there wasn't in 07 either.
Okay.
I mean
but he said that one hurt.
Right.
Well, no, they wanted the perfect season. Bill could have, you know, elected to kick that field goal too at some point. Either way, yeah, he's right to feel like he did his job because he did. So I can understand why it would hurt a little bit less this time around.
All I'm saying is this one should hurt less than 07. 07 is the most painful loss, you know, a team could have just about. So there's a lot of factors why this one hurts less. Is it because the perspective that his children have given him?
Like,
doesn't that feel like a fairy tale?
Yeah, it does feel like
all of a sudden this perspective he has.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, I suppose, that Tom Brady finally grew up. Like, you know,
and he's saying it's either a giant epiphany or
Jimmy G.
Jimmy G's gone.
Yeah,
and
maybe it's the two at the same time. Like, you know, look, at some point it does happen to everybody. You sort of wake up and say it's not about me anymore. Right? I mean, I got more to think of than me. There are other people involved. So it does happen to everybody. And part of the thing with Brady, and I don't know how many times I've said this to you, I've always been amazed that he's been able to stave it off like he has. But still, given everything that we have reported and heard, you know, he went to the owner. They had discussions. Why is Garoppolo here? Why don't I have my contract? All of a sudden they trade Garoppolo and now he has the epiphany?
It times out sort of interestingly, doesn't it?
Oh, gosh. If I'm Kraft, I'm pissed. You sold me a bill of goods. I'm pissed.
Matt in Plymouth. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
You guys are on the perfect track right there with the hurtness from Butler not being played. Garoppolo was just a needle. You know, not having Butler being played, that was a slap in the face to Tom Brady. That was a slap in the face to Tom Brady because Belichick knew Tom Brady wanted him on the field.
See, I think it was just the opposite, Matt.
That's
the slap in the face was drafting the next guy, favoring the next guy, wanting to go to the next guy, then kicking his trainer off the team. That was the slap in the face. The needle, the sort of icing on top was, oh, and you're going to blow the game because of some personal vendetta? Oh, okay. So I just think they're all factors. You just have the list wrong. It started with those other things, and Butler was just a capper.
I mean, Butler was a slap in the face to everybody, not just Tom. Like, I love how people say that. Well, that was a slap in the face to Brady. Really? What about Devin McCourty? Wasn't a slap in the face to him or the other guys who put on all the effort during the year? The slap in the face to Brady was leveraging, and Brady resents it. Clearly, he resents it.
The caller is calling himself Brazilian Marclay. And he's in Quincy. Go ahead, Brazilian Marclay.
Yeah. So I believe Giselle is the problem. Okay. So she started making him believe that he needs to retire and blaming the kids. Like any kid in this world would love to see their dad being pretty, doing what he does best. I mean, don't blame the kids for that. And now, like, oh, I'm out. I got to go. No.
Well, look, I mean, we all want to be with our kids. We all want to pick the kid up at practice. You also have to go to work. So it's like, you know, all of a sudden Brady has this? Like, he's just figured this out? Or is it something else? Is it a convenient thing to play against the team?
She wanted him to retire last year. We had this discussion at the time, and he ignored her. He ignored her.
Well, again, so just a contrast in how it, so apparently, right, Giselle has been up his behind for years about retiring because he keeps bringing it up. And listen to how he responds. Again, so here's Jimmy, play the one with Oprah, if you could. I'm not sure exactly which one it is. It's Oprah B. It's Oprah B, the one that I gave you last night. So Oprah B again with Giselle and the retirement business.
From the outside, it looks like you have an insatiable drive, do you?
Pause.
Yeah.
Meh. Yeah. So, Jimmy, stop. I'll play this in real time. Listen to this pause. Again, play it.
From the outside, it looks like you have an insatiable drive, do you?
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. To be the best I can be, you know, not to be the best what anyone else thinks, just to be the best I can be. Why am I still playing now? Because I feel like I can still do it. And I think I'd look back at something that I love to do, and why should I stop? I talk about it with my wife all the time. You could ask her tonight. She'd be like, I told him, why? What more do you want? And I said, because I love it. It's just, I love it.
Okay, so you can ask her tonight at dinner because Tom and G and Jim Gray are going to dinner at Opus.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, we're going out to eat tonight. You can go to order a flaxseed soup.
they have couscous, Tom.
But, you know, so like, I think the big difference is just the way Tom's tone. Like, again, you saw this insatiable desire. Pause. Yeah.
An insatiable desire means you lust to do that thing. It like drives you. That's why you get up every morning. Mike, do you like dishing out takes here on Phil Grimes every day?
Oh my God, live for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope, there's no pause.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's again with the, you know, Giselle, she says all the time, what more do you have to prove? Why do you keep doing this? It's funny. How come I never hear Giselle say Tom asking her that with all of her, you know, like, Giselle, how much more do you want to do here? We got to pick the kids up at practice, right? I never hear anything about him giving it to her, even though she works her face off, too.
Yeah, she doesn't get concussions from walking the runway.
I am not risking life and limb on the catwalk, Tom.
She's right.
All right. Okay.
You guys can't possibly think those are the same things.
Why not?
To putting your physical well-being in her.
Because I don't think that's the whole story. She wants the time. She wants him home. She wants him
she
with
thinks
her.
He has a fake job, Maz.
Oh, I don't think it's totally about the
she doesn't
time.
Respect his work. How's that?
I don't think
yeah,
it's
that's exactly what
I mean. I don't think it's about the time.
I don't think she cares about his work.
Well, she's clearly not afraid to pump up the TB12 thing.
Well, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about football.
That could be his. I don't think it's about the time. I think it's largely because of his physical health.
Eh, I don't think so. I don't think.
Oh, you guys are delusional.
If she had her choice, she's not living in Boston and schlepping to Foxborough Route 1 10 times a year. No shot. That's not what she's about. But she's doing it because that's her husband and that's the family. But she doesn't want that.
Right. Fine.
She wants New York, Paris, and Costa Rica.
Great. But he'll still have a job. He's not going to be home all day. He's going to be gallivanting around with Tony Robbins in the white robes.
Yes.
And selling $50 nuts.
In Paris, New York, and Costa Rica. Not in Brookline.
Okay. So, but it's not about the time.
It is about the time.
No, it isn't about the
time. It is about the time.
No, it's not. They have a nanny to drive the kids around, for crying out loud.
No. Tom has to pick him up at practice. Haven't you been listening?
Oh, that's a crock, please.
He wants to be there for him.
Yeah, it's not about the time. It's that part I agree on. It's not about the time.
Well, so anyway, just the enthusiasm there with which he answered that question, again, with Giselle about the retirement. Are you still, you know, insatiable desire? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, listen to this with Peter King. Just a year before, and then, and just again, listen to his tone and the energy in his voice. It's number two, Jimmy, number two.
I was joking my wife earlier this week. She said, oh, great, babe, now you can retire, because I know, you know, you always wanted to win another Super Bowl. And I said, you know what, it's just, not to her, I said, yeah, no chance, but I said, this is actually when it's really fun. You know, I think
you mean when you're doing it when nobody expects you to be able to do it.
No, I think doing it when you've had the mental experience to be able to play for as long as I've had, and my body still feels like I'm in my 20s, because I've got the answers to the test now. There, you can't surprise me on defense.
Okay,
you know,
stop. Body's in the 20s. I'm, you know, I got the answers to the test. You can't surprise me. Like, again, just the tone. This ain't coming to an end anytime soon. There's no end in sight. I got the answers to the test. Giselle's still up my keister about retiring, but that ain't happening. I got the answers to the test. Now, it's like, do you still have the insatiable desire? Yeah. But anyway, Maz, about the answers to the test?
Oh, God, please. How come you didn't have the answers to the test when Nigel Bradham was coming off your front side in the Super Bowl with 2 minutes to go? What happened then? Did you lose the cheat sheet? Huh? You didn't see him coming? You forgot to put the little card inside your wristband or something that said he was coming? Watch out for the pass rusher on the front side? Did you forget the answers then, Tom? What happened? You drink last night? You just forgetful? What was it? Clown. Like, that's unfair. But the point is, that comment, so arrogant. It really is. It's so arrogant. I have the answers to the test. And for the most part, he does. I get it. But when you say it that way, oh. Yeah, watch out for Bradham. I think he wears 58, 50, I don't remember, 53, one of those. It's a five in front. That's what I would tell you. Watch out for that guy.
That's an opening we didn't want to give Maz, but there it is anyway. Here's Murray's update.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Every afternoon, Felger and Maz bring you the science of sports.
Stupid me.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
1-2. High fly ball, right field, deep. That one way, way out of here. He crushed it. All the way to the cafe. Rafael Devers destroyed it. And the Red Sox take a big lead early.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's a re-entry Monday, so we hit on a lot of different things, including some Red Sox earlier on in the program. You think a guy like Devers, Maz, is a key piece to this team?
I do. I felt coming into the year that Devers, Bogarts, and Price were like three of the most important guys on the Red Sox. And J.D. Martinez was obvious, so I didn't pick him, right? But he's obviously panned out. But those other guys, to me, that's what gives them depth, those guys. And also, those guys all had the biggest room for growth. So, you know, Bogarts has not really hit his ceiling at any point. Now he's got, what, I think it's 12 home runs now. Is it 13? Whatever it is, he homered in three of the four games there in one of the biggest ballparks in the league. So I look at Bogarts and say, well, now you're on a 25 home run pace. You know, when he missed a chunk of games, for crying out loud. So we're starting to see that in Bogarts. Price has pitched well over the last, what, 5-6 weeks? He's been good. And now Devers, if those guys hit, They can, you know, they can threaten New York and Houston. They're right there with those teams.
Overall, the split in Seattle, you impressed?
Not really. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not bummed out or disappointed. But like what, 2 out of 4 now is the desired goal? When you have a $230 million payroll?
Go toe-to-toe with the good teams, beat up on the bad ones.
So Seattle's now a measuring stick for the Red Sox.
They're in the playoffs if they began tonight. Why not?
So Seattle's now a measuring stick for the Red Sox.
If the playoffs began tonight, I think they might play them.
Okay, but again, you're not answering the question.
Yes, they're a playoff team, yes.
Shouldn't the Red Sox be a measuring stick for Seattle?
Well, so both.
No, not both. No, Seattle's like, Seattle should look at the Red Sox and say, that's what we aspire to be.
What, to be a team that's lost the last couple of years in the first round of the playoffs, just be happy to get there? They're a playoff team.
No, man. Seattle's competition. That's the team you're going to face in the postseason.
Yeah, the Red Sox should be better than Seattle. They should be better than Seattle. They shouldn't be wasting their breath and setting their goals and sights on Seattle. They should be setting their goal and sights on Houston and the Yankees. That's what they should be setting them on.
The Sox are 500 against those three teams.
They are.
Seattle, Houston, and New York.
Yeah.
And you say like it's a bad thing.
It's not good enough. It's not good enough. You're going to have to beat the good teams if you want to win it. So we can go over the numbers again if you want. But I look at it and say, against each other now, the five playoff teams in the American League, New York, Seattle, Houston, Boston, Cleveland. Cleveland's 5-12. Forget them. Okay, the Red Sox are better than Cleveland. The Red Sox and Houston are both 500. The Red Sox are 7-7. Houston's 12-12. Seattle's 9-8. The Yankees are 11-5. So I look at that. Now, I don't think Seattle and the Yankees have played one another yet, but all the others have. Cleveland, to me, has taken a step back. But is that where we want the Red Sox? Hovering, you know, at 7-7? Or do you want them better than that?
Ideally, a little bit better.
You want them better. You don't want them there. And then and our intern, Matt, just handed us a you know, little
study
presentation there that shows that teams that do well in October typically have a better record against good teams during the regular season. So the Red Sox, to me, haven't quite done that yet. Now, again, I'm not telling you the weekend over against Seattle sucked, but they won the first game. I said this on Friday before they played the last three, precisely because I did not want this to happen. Because I knew that someone would take it and try to shove it down my throat when I showed up on Monday and said, a split, we're going to celebrate a split now? Yay, 2-2. Woohoo! 81-81, baby, let's go. No. No way. Not good enough. Now, again, it's not a disaster. But 2-2 against the good teams isn't going to win you anything.
Okay, so there's your Red Sox item. Let's just check in on Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, and the Boston Celtics. Any developing opinions or rumors on that? Jimmy, you want to share what you gleaned over the weekend, Jimmy? Maybe you could just help us with that as it relates to the Celtics?
The Celtics are not trading Jaylen Brown.
For anything?
For anything, it seems.
So Jaylen Brown not in
he is not available right now.
Not in the picture. And what was the other thing that you had for us?
I believe it was related
Marcus Smart
to Marcus Smart. So I heard a rumble that there may be a team out there, a team like the Pacers or the Mavericks, who are going to offer Marcus Smart a one-year, $18 million contract. This is the J.J. Redick contract that is going to be kind of a thing now in the NBA. J.J. Redick last offseason signed with the 76ers for 1 year and $23 million. It's so that these teams who have cap space don't just write a check to the NBA. They're actually getting an actual player.
I see. Because they're so low to the floor or something like that?
Yes.
Okay. So if it's $18 million for Marcus Smart, see you later.
Oh, yeah. I don't think the Celtics would pay that. But Indiana, correct me if I'm wrong, when this first came up, I said I could see Indiana making a run at him. He's perfect for them.
He'd be a factor there.
He's perfect for them. again, you know, they've built a team now that's a little like the Celtics a couple of years ago, except maybe with some better talent or young talent. And so, you know, they dig in on D, they play hard. Like, he's a fit for them. He'd be a good get for them.
Meanwhile, Kyrie Irving does a podcast with Bill Simmons, which I listen to portions of, and it's just, I have a podcast thing, man. I just can't stand podcasts. They're just unurgent, meandering.
Oh, his is boring as hell. No matter.
Oh, God, it put me to sleep. Yeah. It did. It put me to sleep. I struggled with it.
His podcast is just too much time. You got, get on a clock. Get in, get out, get to your point. I need that. And if these podcasts, it's like, oh, man, this sounds like two people with all the time in the world. And I mean,
that one was 90 minutes.
Oh, I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them.
Or 87 or whatever the hell it was. It was way too long.
This Oprah Brady thing wasn't a podcast, but it's like you give them an hour, just meander around and tiptoe around. Like if you put a 7-minute clock on that thing, you got to get to the answer. You got to get to the question. Bang, 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 bang. Sorry, that's my rant. But here was the one relevant Kyrie cut that I thought we should play. Go ahead.
Why you got people all excited, by the way, when you talked, or not, I guess excited is not the wrong word, scared? When somebody asked you about what was happening in a year, and you're like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen a year from now. Yeah, you can't do that in Boston. People are too crazy. It's hot there now. They're crazy people.
And stop. Simmons treats us like we're some sort of movie set. You know that?
Yeah. I refer to him as Above It Bill. He drives me crazy.
Like the Boston sports guy. He talks about Boston sports like we're some sort of sitcom, situational piece. As opposed to, like, I don't know, being in it. Like, I don't know. It always rubs me the wrong way. Like, I don't know. I'm not articulating this well. But he treats us like we're some sort of show. As opposed to an actual place with, like, I don't know. Why don't you get in the middle of it?
Oh, yeah, no. He's perched above just judging it all.
Like we're some sort of pilot, the Boston sports pilot. This is what, I don't know. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Man, they're crazy people.
I couldn't be anything but truthful. So
you really don't know? You're just thinking year to year?
No, I have to. That's where my focus is. Because I know that question is going to come up a lot. And I'm doing my best to really just redirect it.
We know,
like, that attention towards what we're able to accomplish next year. So, you know, that's all I'm focused on. Like, it would be great to, like, oh, I'm doing this for sure, but you just don't know.
So, once again, just continue with the non-committalness.
Yeah, and so, look, again, who had the story? Was it Himmelsbach that said the Celtics are confident that he wants to be here long-term or something? So, I mean... I hope they have some sort of better understanding than what he's implying publicly. That's all. Because if he's going to play these stupid-ass games and leave you hanging like that, then you better be looking around.
You're still concerned.
I am still concerned because I don't trust him. He's only been here a year, and he's clearly... Look, in the NBA, how could you trust the players anymore? You know, there's a segment in there where he goes on to talk about how when LeBron put the Miami team together in 2010, he empowered players in the league, and now, you know, you can pick who you want to play with, and we all learned a lot from that. And I hear that and say, that's not good for the league. And if that's the case, I don't think that's good for the league. And then beyond, it's good for the players. But he's starting to understand his power. And that, to me, will ultimately get in the way for the Celtics. That's a bad thing.
Oh, he totally understands his power. I don't think he's just realizing. I think he did realize it. I heard Beadle and Zoe play this. Where he mentioned something about the fact of the offseason starts. Well, it started. And Simmons says that it started right after Game 7 against Cleveland. He's like, no, at the end of the All-Star weekend. It starts at the end of the All-Star weekend. And then he had to backtrack because he didn't want to talk about tampering. But basically... all the guys get together at the All-Star weekend and over drinks or the weekend or the partying or whatever they're doing, it's like, where are you going? Where are you going? Well, where do you want to go? Who do you want to play with? And it starts there. And it's all the players. It's all the players, man.
Totally. Yes, they all have the power. It's all about the players. And I don't think that's a good development for the league because you get Golden State. Like, you know, and then how are you going to topple that? Well, LeBron has to get his own little group together in L.A., like, and to me, that sort of defeats all the decision-making, all of it. What's the point? If the players are just going to conspire and put together super teams, what the hell are we doing here?
All right, so that's it. That exhausts everything we had to get to today. Your reactions the rest of the way. Calls right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think what I've alluded to a lot in the docuseries was there's other things happening in my life too. You know, I do have kids that I love, and I don't want to be a dad that's not there driving my kids to their games. And, you know, I think kids, you know, my kids have brought a great perspective in my life, you know, because kids just want the attention. You better be there and be available to them.
Once again, I listened to the Peter King interview last offseason. I didn't hear much about that. But now, seems like all we hear. So again, either Tom Brady just had an overnight epiphany about the importance of family, or he's playing the Patriots. I hope it's the latter. I really do. I mean, as a football fan, I mean, that's all due respect. That's our interest, right? Is, and he keeps playing at a high level. So hopefully he's just busting their balls for a new contract or different work conditions or his trainer or whatever the case may be. Because if this is really, if Brady's on the level and football is just not as important to him as it once was, then that sucks for fans, sucks for the team, and it's also a classic double switch, classic bait and switch, I mean to say. After telling us for years he wants to play to 45 and he's got all the answers, now they trade his backup and all of a sudden it's, I got to pick up the kid at practice? That is, if I'm Kraft, that is aggravating. So, anyway, there's that. To your phones as promised. Ernie and Revere. Go, Ernie.
Yeah, how you doing? You know, I think he's been negotiating with his wife all along. You know, she wants him to quit, and I think he's making deals with her that, well, all right, I won't go in until late in the year. You know, let's face it, they've been on a run lately that the last, 4 years, they played it almost to February every week, and then they're off a couple of weeks, and they go back, and they got, you know, workouts and OTAs, and, you know, it's like they only get a month off every year. I mean, it'd be different if you're in Cincinnati. You'd have the whole off-season off. But they play right up until the end, so, you know, maybe it's time that he has to make some deals in order to keep playing.
I understand, except you're off from, for them, in their case, the Super Bowl, which is the first week of February, to the off-season programs in March. There's about 3 weeks to a month right there. Those OTAs, the passing camps, don't really start till April. And so, like, no one got too hot and bothered when Brady was just missing the first couple phases of the offseason, which are, you know, the first phase is like stretching. The second phase is the balls are out, but you can't really go offense, defense. It's not really working with your teammates. It's really still sort of that stuff. So phase three is the passing camps, which isn't till April, I think. So we're talking February and all of March. And then you have those passing camps from April to the mini camp in June, and then you're off from June until July. So you're talking about 3 full months. And what, those three weeks of passing camps put you over the edge? Don't give me that.
No, please, listen. I mean, again, this all relates to Garoppolo. And see, to me, it's about resentment. It's about resentment, which is why I don't give any real credence to the Giselle stuff. He got pissed when they drafted Garoppolo, and then they started leveraging him. And so he had to fight it off, and he did, to his credit. He did. He went to 3 Super Bowls. He won 2 of them. He went to the AFC Championship in the one game he didn't, to Ernie's point. That's 11 extra games, all of that. He's taken, you know, pay cuts or less, all of that. He's done it all. And now Garoppolo's gone. He's looking and says, so now what are you going to do?
Okay, so what if the team does something? And this is my question leading into today. Should the team give in to him? Give him some money?
No.
Take care of his trainer. Because you traded the kid, and right now you have no other option. You have no other quarterback, and I don't even know what the plan is. Do they have one? So if you're going to do that, if you're going to blow up the future in the form of trading Garoppolo, don't you have to go in with Brady and see if you can get him back?
Yeah, I believe so. I just don't know if that's enough to really convince him to come back on the reservation fully. I still think that he wants Belichick gone. Because, Bill's not going to cave here. So, ultimately, I think he wants a new deal, and he wants to have Guerrero back in the fold. The latter is definitely not going to happen as long as Bill's still here.
You think he wants Bill gone?
Yeah.
Did you not watch the Oprah thing? Jimmy, give me the Oprah cut number 5, please. Give me number 5.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
No, I mean...
That's all I need to hear.
No. Let's listen to the man's answer.
No, I mean, I love him.
He loves him.
Mm-hmm.
He loves him.
Because he loves all human beings, because he's enlightened Tom Brady now.
He is. He's spiritual.
That's an easy thing to say.
He loves Bill, so you don't... You think he's lying?
No, I love
Mike,
him.
That answer starts exactly the same way that Kyrie gave the answer last week when he was asked about playing with LeBron James. And we dissected that and all agreed, yeah, he hates playing with LeBron James. It's an easy answer. Do you really love this person? So how does she pose the question again, Jimmy?
You know what? We'll just play the whole thing.
Is there something going on with you and Belichick?
Nope. No, not at all. Things are great. He's a great coach. If he really felt that way, bang, the answer's right there. He needs, let me rack my brain real quick. What's the most like benign answer I can give here, even though I hate this guy's guts and I'm so sick of him? I love him because I love all humans. Even you, Oprah. I don't know you from Adam, but I do love you because you're a human being and I'm spiritual Tom Brady. I'm a perfect person now. I'm a good guy. I see the best in all humans now. I love him.
Oh, God, please. I wanted to puke. It's such a phony answer. It's completely phony. And Murray's dead on. He's right, which you know, too. I know you're just playing along. The whole thing is him saying, oh, no, I love him. When the reality is, if he really felt there was nothing going on, he would have said, oh, my God, please. He would have looked at Oprah and said, you know how many times I've heard this? Everything's fine. It's fine. Every once in a while, we butt heads. We've done that for 18 years. We're good. Like, that's how we would have answered it, instead of, you know, fabricating some fake answer, which is what he did.
So here's what I think. You know, I think in a 12-month span, Brady's gone from all in on steroids, meaning all in, turbo, square, just all in like you read about, to, the end's coming sooner than later, right? So how do we get him back? How do you get Brady back to where he was 12 months ago? And is there a shot? Again, if you sit down, meaning Robert Kraft, say, Tom, here's a new contract. We're going to tack on 1 year. We're going to give you $30, $40 million guaranteed. Pick the number, whatever it is, that gets Brady up to the top of the league, or whatever it takes to show him your gratitude. I'm going to work with you on your trainer, and we want you all in because we're all in, and this is it. 3 years, done, let's go. Does he stop with the nonsense about picking up the kid at practice?
Well, he might stop with that.
But I think there's a chance. And what I mean is that he show up for passing camps? Does the quarterback deign to show up for passing camp when he's never mind 10 miles down the road, 100 yards across the parking lot at his trainer's place? Does he deign to show up?
Okay, but is it just about his physical presence?
It's a big one. Absolutely. Big part of it.
See, it's not all about his physical presence to me. It's also about the level of intensity that he's,
Wherever you were 2 years ago is where we want you now and for the next couple.
Yeah, I'm not sure he can get back there.
You think that's done? That's gone?
Yep.
It's gone.
Yep, Garoppolo's gone and so is that.
See, I don't feel it is.
I do.
It was too quick of a turn. It's too quick of a turn. It's still right there. He's just pissed off. So, unpiss him off.
Yeah, I don't.
Get him back.
I don't think it works that way. I don't. And why can't it be a quick turn?
Well, it was a quick turn in this direction.
Well, no.
Meaning?
Was it?
Yes, it was just 6 months ago. He's playing to 45, and then he'll reassess. Now it's sooner rather than later.
Yeah,
so maybe. That was pretty quick.
Yeah.
So why can't it go back to that other thing just as quickly?
Because I think he's been building up resentment over time. I think it's been over years. That's why. I think it goes back to Deflategate that pissed him off. Hell, it might have been before that. Who the hell knows? But over time, he's gotten more and more resentful of Bill, more and more resentful of being leveraged. And now it's getting to the point where he has the leverage, and he's like, screw you guys. You sweat.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.